Well, if you are new to us or first time here, I wish it wasn't your first time, but it is, so we'll make the best of it. But up until now, everything has been normal. We believe in a phrase, every member's a minister. So the people who've been up here, most of them are just lay people, just serving. We love that. That's been normal. Children's message has been normal. Everything's been normal. But now we're going to come to the abnormal part, and that is going to be, I'm going to read a statement made from your elders. I need to know it's been approved by all your elders, though I'm the one reading it. All seven elders have been a part of construing it, putting it together. And I will then follow this statement with a message, because the statement I think is going to be somewhat surprising to many of you and maybe concerning to many of you. But we'll go to the second part. Hang in there and let us go through God's word and look at it through the lens of scripture. And I think maybe you're going to leave here being fine. Here's the statement. Oh, I put out a copy of the statement will be mailed to you, Lord willing, at 3 o'clock. It's scheduled to be sent out because we're going to read it once. You're going to say, I might have missed something. There will be a statement mailed out at 3 o'clock, a copy of this. And then tomorrow morning, by tomorrow afternoon for sure, but probably earlier, you'll be able to listen to it on our website if you want to listen to it again. Or if you have a friend that goes to our church and not here, they would want to listen to that. When Firm Family Church launched in the summer of 2019, little did we know that our first 4 years would be characterized by the word change. A new church will always experience some changes, but in the period of 4 short years, we have experienced an incredible number of changes. At least 4 indoor meeting locations, not to mention several outdoor meeting locations during the height of the COVID pandemic. As elders, we want to commend you for your flexibility, patience, and commitment to this body amidst this change. We do not take your flexibility for granted, and we have tried our best to be sensitive to many people's desires for consistency and stability over the last couple of years in our current building. At the same time, we have tried hard to be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in directing our decisions. The majority of the elders agree that the current 2 semi-independent expressions under 1 governance model of Firm Family Church is healthy and sustainable. In the last few months, it has become clear that Pastor Matt, through prayer and studying the Word, is in disagreement with the majority position. In light of this disagreement, over the next 7 to 8 months, Matt will be working to develop the 11 a.m. expression into a separate church. During this transition, Matt will be stepping down as an elder of Firm Family Church as he develops a leadership team for the new church. He will continue as pastor of Firm Family Church through the June of 2024, so about 7 months away. This will allow for leadership teams to emerge that have greater alignment in philosophy and practice, relieving the pressure that has developed under the current one governance body. Firm Family Church, as expressed in the 9 a.m. service, will maintain a continuity of leadership, philosophy, and vision under Pastor Will and the remaining elders. The short-term changes of this decision will be almost unnoticeable by the majority of the body, as almost all of what we are currently doing will remain the same for at least 7 months unless the Lord intervenes in an unforeseen way. We believe conflict is unavoidable in any sphere of life, marriage, work, parenting, etc. And what is important is how we address and deal with the said conflict. With the numerous meetings, there has been disagreement and there have been both healthy and sinful conduct. We have sought to acknowledge and confess our sin to God and one another and relied on God's grace that forgives us and His Spirit's power that makes reconciliation possible. We are moving forward relationally reconciled and committed to supporting both churches. Acts 15 makes it clear that God can and does use conflict to advance His purposes. We know God hates disunity, expressed in Ephesians 4, but we believe that difference in philosophy, practice, and even strong disagreements can coincide with loving unity in Christ. We remain united in our desire to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ and partner with Him to advance His kingdom. We will, Lord willing, be pursuing that goal through 2 healthy and thriving churches. As we continue working through the remaining decisions that need to be made, we ask you to join us in prayer. We are moving forward with the assumption that the first Sunday where we will meet in different geographic locations will be July 7th, 2024. Firm Family Church will remain here. This allows for ample time to set up the new church intentionally without needing to rush, as well as giving us as a body time to process this decision together. We are committed to being honest, open, transparent, sweet and not bitter, building up and not tearing down throughout this process. We hope and ask that you understand when a decision of this significance is made, it is not made lightly, and there are aspects of the process that are unhelpful to share with the body as a whole. We acknowledge that there may remain many questions and our desires to answer them in an honest and honoring way to all involved. This may happen through individual conversations, more formal Q&A meetings, and written communications. We ask and encourage you as the body to join us as elders in striving to guard our tongues and our hearts, and make sure any conversations regarding this decision are sweet, building up, and believing the best instead of assuming the worst. Now, that's a lot to take in. So, in summary, four statements. We as the elders of Firm Family Church commend you for your flexibility, patience, and commitment to the body the past 4 years. Matt will be stepping down as an elder of Firm Family Church and working to develop the 11 a.m. expression into a separate church. Firm Family Church, as expressed in the 9 a.m. service, will maintain consistency of leadership, philosophy, and vision under the remaining elders and Pastor Will. The change of this decision in the two expressions will be almost unnoticeable by the majority of the body, as almost all of what we are currently dealing with will remain the same for the next 7 months unless the Lord intervenes in some unforeseen way. And then please feel free in the days, weeks, months ahead to feel free to talk to any elder, any staff member, and they'll share best they can, you know, their perspective. But again, the big perspective is just the difference in the two services or whether what we're currently doing with two services, two independent expressions, being healthy or not. That's the big difference. And so that's where what we've been working on. Now, I'm going to bring this up because I'm taller than whoever the last guy was on this. But we're going to continue on with our series, if you can believe it, of healthy characteristics of a healthy church. This is number 10. And you might be saying, you got to be kidding. No, I'm not. Because I really believe conflict is the sign of a healthy church or healthy marriage. And you might say, that sounds crazy. Not you that have been in my premarital, because in my premarital counseling for over 100 couples, I tell them conflict is unavoidable. And if you're avoiding all conflict, that is not healthy. And if you move from conflict to combat, that is not healthy. But dealing with conflict in a healthy way, in a godly way, is healthy. And so what I'm going to hopefully try to do, and certainly in the sense of you have to realize Jesus dealt with conflict. He didn't avoid conflict. He dealt with it. And he balances grace and truth perfectly. And so that's what we're going to be striving to do. But what I'm going to try to do today is just an attempt to live out our mission statement that Micah couldn't quote. Helping people from all ages and stages develop a faith that is real and friends that are true so that we may think biblically, live distinctively, and love like Jesus to impact our world for him. So I hope we're going to, through God's word today and by his grace, equip us all to do that. Think biblically about this conflict and about this decision, to live distinctively about it, because some people, some churches, when they go through this, it's not sweet and it is bitter and it's not helpful. It is tearing down. We can do this differently. And that's to love like Jesus. So that's my goal, to do that. I told you I do believe it's inevitable that conflict's going to be a part of anything, and I'll expand on that in a few minutes. But before I do, let me pray, and then we're going to look into God's word together. Father, I do thank you for your faithfulness to this church for the last 4 years. Incredible to think what you've done in 4 years and with all that's happened in our country in the last 4 years. So we thank you for that. And Father, I pray now that as we look into your word, you would equip us to be able to think biblically, live distinctively, and love like Jesus. Even in regards to this conflict that we've had here and how we're dealing with it, I, Father, pray it would bring honor to you and not in any way disgrace to you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so we're going to walk through a biblical account of a conflict that is very, 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 very similar to this one. It really is. It's just not in 2023. It's not in this church, but it is between two leaders who are called to lead and serve, but they saw things very differently. So anybody want to guess where we're going to go? Acts. Very good. Acts. So we're going to walk together, but if you'll turn to Acts 13 or Acts 9 is where we're going to start. Acts 9 is where we'll start. And guys, I am one that is so grateful for God's word that he, first of all, inspired it to be written, and he's preserved it. And so we have it to go to in times like this to look at, well, how is it to equip us for every good work? Well, here's an example of how they dealt with this, and we have it saved for us. It's preserved for us. We can use it. We're going to be looking at a chronological narrative, just in order that it happened, of a narrative of Paul and Barnabas' relationship that started very well and ended up with them going exact opposite directions. Very different. They said, we disagree strongly, we're going to go our own ways. Now, I'm certainly not saying I am Barnabas and Matt is Paul, or I'm Barnabas and Matt is Paul. We're not on that, well, at least I'm not on that playing field with those two guys, but I'm thinking there are a lot of similarities between what they did and how they did it, and what we want to do and how we hope to do it. I'll start by reading Acts 9, 26 to 27. Normally we stand in honor of God's word, but we're going to be going up, it'd be like a machine going up and down all day long, so I'm just going to let you sit, but you know this is God's word. And when he had come to talking about Paul, Apostle Paul had just had an incredible encounter with Jesus. Paul had spent most of his life, or his later years, of persecuting people who claimed to be followers of Jesus and really persecuting them. And now he has an encounter with Jesus and his life has changed. Rather than persecuting them, he is now a follower of this Jesus. And it says, and when he came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, Barnabas took Paul and brought him to the apostles and declared to them on how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So here we see the beginning of Barnabas and Paul's relationship. Barnabas is helping Paul. He's coming alongside of him when he needed him greatly, because nobody's believing Paul. They think he's just trying to trick us. He's going to tell us he's a disciple, get us all in one room, and then a mass murder like we see today. You know, some of these, not compounds, communes, you know, those type of things. And but Barnabas and Paul started healthy, and they're serving each other, and Paul needed Barnabas. Now flip to Acts 13. I'm going to read verses 2 to 5, which again I think is fascinating that we get this. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit is leading these people to do this. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. Things are going great. God is leading them to go together and go and preach God's word, and everything is going great. Partnership in the ministry is formed by the Holy Spirit teaching the church of Antioch to send out Paul and Barnabas as a team. The church is led to do that and calls them to do it. Now, I do want to take a little detour for a minute here, and that is that Paul and Barnabas have no commitment to each other or even a covenant to stay together. That's very important. There was no covenant between them. There was no commitment between them to stay together for life. You say, well, why is that a detour? Because I do not want you ever, ever, ever to think that you can apply this to marriage and say, well, we have irreconcilable differences, so it's healthy for us to go our own way. We have a covenant with each other for life. We have married for life. And so I just want to make sure that we're not saying that you have a disagreement in your church. Well, I mean, disagreement in marriage. Well, it's hard. We'll just go our own ways. Not a good call. Not a good decision. So that does not apply to this. And then the last passage we'll look at together in a big, big way, Acts 15, verse 36 through 16, verse 5. And this is where we can really see relates to us. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul took Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Here's a key statement. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew in daily numbers. Okay, so I'm just going to give some takeaways for us, just some observations from the passage, and then how does it apply to us? How can it help us think biblically, live distinctly, love like Jesus? Big takeaway, guys, is for us to realize disagreements have been a part of the church from the very beginning. It's not a bad, terrible thing. They happen. I think we sometimes in the Christian church, we hide from and try and cover it up. Guys, disagreements are okay. And it's how we deal with them that makes them good or bad or right or wrong. Another observation. This disagreement is simply over a difference of opinion of what would be best for the future mission trips Paul and Barnabas were going to take. Paul wanted to take Mark with him, and Barnabas did not. I'm sorry, Paul did not want to take Mark with him, and Barnabas did. And the disagreement is so strongly over just that decision. Nothing biblical, nothing doctrine, just a desire of the heart that they go their own ways. I think I have this one in red. The disagreement was over practice, method, and preference, not over doctrine, sin, or even a biblical principle. And guys, that's where we are. It is just philosophy, methodology, practice, not doctrine, not truth. So just make sure you know that. Ken, one of our elders, Ken wrote me this week and had a great line that, I don't know, I thought it was excellent. It says, there is a built-in tension between building inward relationships in a church and extending the church's influence outward. And that you just think about that as far as, if let's say the Lord leads us someday to plant a church, and half of you, or let's say we say, we're going to send 50 of you to Denver to help poor Danny Gardner up there. They need help. They don't. But Danny was sent by his church in Lancaster, California to go up there. And that church has sent out, what do you think, Katie, maybe 5 churches now? And every time they've done it, they've taken groups of people out of their church. They've sent them. And that's called tension. Somebody said, I don't want to leave my friends. I don't want to leave Lancaster. Now, I don't know how that works with the wind and all this, but they do. Some of them just went to Palmdale, so they didn't go that far. But the idea is there is a built-in tension. You know, we get comfortable with us for no more, and we don't want things to change. But change is inevitable. Not always by this, but change is inevitable in our lives. We know that. More observations. They went in opposite directions and caused no problems for each other and continued to share the gospel with those who are unreached. They accepted there could be unity among diversity. Just like we accept there can be unity among diversity of churches here in town, we have great unity with Grace Community. They had a parenting conference this weekend. I taught 2 seminars at it. There's great unity, but there's great diversity. They're on that side of town, we're on this side of town. We do things very differently, but there's unity in the big purpose of spreading the news of Jesus Christ. Vespers, and we go on and on, unity among them. Going our own ways does not mean that a loss of unity in the mission of making disciples of all nations, as Jesus commanded us to do in Matthew 28, 19, 20. That's what we're unified in. We're just going to do it different ways. There was no, another more active observation, there was no indication of grudges, loss of respect, or love ever recorded. Actually have record of Paul affirming the ministries of Barnabas and of Mark, 2 different places in Scripture in the New Testament. So they're not like hating each other, they're just disagreeing over how to do ministry. And they both go on and have great fruit. In giving this account, Luke, who's writing, inspired by God to write the book of Acts, Luke does not take sides and say Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong, or vice versa. He simply lets us know what the disagreement was, and they solved it by going their own ways. Never place blame or sin or anything else. Having this event in history recorded for us to learn from gives us a great advantage of seeing how God works in the midst of conflict. The most obvious of this one, the working that came out of it, is 2 missionary journeys were launched rather than just one. In Acts 15, we see that 2 different directions, 2 different teams are formed, and they do a great work, and the mission spreads different directions. Now, living out some application. We, by the way, just so you know, we're going to end our time together today with worship. Tyler and his team's going to lead us because hopefully we can say, we know where our hope is. We realize from God's word, this doesn't have to be something that is sinful or wrong or bad. It is just change. And so we're ending worship. But before we do that, let me give us 3 or some truths about how to apply those 3 things to our life. Thinking biblically, living distinctively, loving like Jesus. Thinking biblically, this may help some of you. And that is that God is still in control of his creation. He's still running it. And he can do it with or without us. We are very blessed he's chosen to use us as instruments for him. But thinking biblically is this, Job 42:2. Job 42:2. No plans of his will be thwarted. None. You cannot get in the way. Yeah, so sorry about that. Oh, no, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. There it is, sorry. But we need to have comfort in that. God's will is going to be accomplished. And so we don't think, oh, no, the sky is falling. No, it's not. And no plans of his are going to be thwarted. But the other one that is maybe more encouraging is Romans 8:28 talks about, and we know that in all things, God works together for the good to those who love him, called according to his purpose. I think that the leader, the elders of this church, I think Matt and I are all, been in love him and been called according to his purpose. And that's why we have two expressions. Matt and I both feel called to this purpose of being pastors. And so we've tried one system of trying to have two different expressions, and it just didn't work. It's okay. And so we're going to go to two different churches the other way. So that would be thinking biblically, as we just realize a sense of things are okay. God is in control. He's going to use it, and his kingdom's going to be furthered. Living distinctly, though, is just how, again, and I think maybe some of you have been, a word I heard a lot these days is church hurt. And maybe some of you have been in a church that has gone through this, but you've been hurt by it. We're convinced and trying very hard to say, you don't have to be. Nobody has to be hurt. This can be a great thing for the future. I heard a line, I'll probably use it later, so if I do, just bear with it, but I love it. If you're an Oakland A's fan, you know that they've been trying to get permission to go to Las Vegas, right? And they've been having some battles, but they got permission. And so yesterday, yesterday or the day before in the paper, there's a great quote that I loved. And somebody asked, I don't know if it's the owner or the manager, somebody that had some power, well, how are you feeling? And he said, I'm saddened by the changes, but I'm excited about the future. Guys, that's where we are. We're saddened by the changes. We think it's working great, but we are both sides, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, not sides, that's a wrong word. Both teams are excited about the future. We're not leading into this thing dreading. We're excited. So there's no reason we're church hurt. We're excited about what the future is going to hold. Living distinctively, and that is to understand Proverbs 18:21 that says this, our tongues have the power of life and death. What we say to neighbors, to friends, to our kids, that is has the power of life or death. And, you know, I hope you've read, we tried to be as open and transparent as we can. We're not hiding there's disagreement. We're not hiding that it was strong, not hiding that we tried to solve it. And we're just saying it didn't get solved. We did everything from bringing in outside consulting. We worked hard. We prayed hard. But we just did not come to agreement. And so that's okay. So here's what I want to exhort us all to do. And that is what the elders are doing of trying to help us use sweet and not bitter words, building up words and not tearing down words. The verses, Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with word of salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Just pray that God will give you the right words to not give anybody cause for church hurt. We've talked about how we've tried to develop a church that's going to rebrand the church's image in this community. This doesn't have to give it a brand name. We're just saying our church, the leadership has some disagreement, and so they're going to plant two different churches. They're going different directions, but they're both going to be healthy churches. We can do that. Ephesians 4:29 to 30, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Our words have a big part to play with how we're rebranding the church's image. And our words have a whole lot to do whether we grieve the Holy Spirit of God or not. So we want to use words that build up, not tear down. And the last one, love like Jesus to impact the world for him, just four verses. 1 Corinthians 4:5 has to do with motives. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Waiting till the Lord comes, he will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each one will receive their praise from God. We as elders are not assigning motives to either expression, either leader. We're just believing God's best for both. We're believing God led both. There's prayer, there's direction. And there's a disagreement between the elders and Matt, and so this is a healthy way to deal with that. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. So maybe you're mad at me, maybe you're mad at Matt, maybe you're mad at the elders, maybe you're mad at the building of this church because they ever gave us the building. I don't know who you'd be mad at, but just I'm encouraging you, if you do have anger, forgive as Jesus forgave you. And that is his mercies are new every morning. That is, he loves you, he forgives you. We don't think there's sin involved in this decision, but if you do, then just be merciful and grant forgiveness. I would probably talk to one of the people first, but then grant forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And the last one, Ephesians 4:1-6. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope that belongs to the call, your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So there are many local expressions of this one body, but there's only one body. We're a part of it. The people that are believers at Grace are part of it. The people believers at Vespers, the people at EV Free, they're all part of the same body. We're just different expressions of it. So it's not a bad thing. The whole body can't meet together until glory. For now, we're spread out all over the place, but there's only one body. Some final thoughts before we move to time of worship, and that is that, and actually I'm going to read this. This is another thought that Ken shared. I just loved it. I want you to know that the decision to move to two independent churches is uncomfortable. But we as elders have prayed, fasted, dialogued, brought in outside counsel, and with all that after months, we sense this is the best option. And there's my quote again that I wrote down. Sadness for me, sadness for the changes, excitement for the future. I really am. There is a sadness, there is an excitement. And I admit there's been a very challenging and difficult decision to be made, and in some ways it could feel like a failure, but here is another word from Ken, the great word, he always speaks words of truth and encouragement in my life. We have a promise from Jesus himself that he will build his church. We're not going to get in the way of that. We don't understand how he does it, but we can hold on to that promise and know that he has in the past and will in the future accomplish his purposes through imperfect people like you and me, and like your elders, and like your pastors, imperfect people, but God uses them. I think that is, a couple of things before I close in benediction, and then we're going to have the worship team come forward. And then as I do encourage you to pray for the staff and the elders as we move forward from here. Again, we're going to be in the same building, Lord willing, for about 6-7 months as Matt puts together a team, finds a building, finds a place. So we're going to be in here. And again, it's not like there's no hate. We don't walk in the hall and say, you bump me. I mean, there's not that at all. It's just difference of opinion of how two services can function together. One more ask, very important, is that just know that the 11 o'clock, how many of you this is totally surprised to you? Yeah, I thought every one of you. Well, we thought it'd be totally surprised. But so the 11 o'clock people do not know this. And so during the meet in the middle hour, if you're talking to somebody that you know is here, then that's great. But if somebody, because Pastor Matt will be reading the same statement and then sharing a message from God's word as well. So let him hear the whole of it unfold rather than just hearing it over a cup of coffee. So if you can just remember that, then anybody's coming in at 11, they've not heard what you just heard. But here is a great ending as we lead into worship, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that he's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. That is our prayer for both expressions, to be a part of that forever and ever, expanding God's kingdom.